venture. Praise God. Good morning, church. Good morning, everybody. Woo! I like to welcome every single one of you all, but we wouldn't have time for preaching, so please welcome, welcome, yeah, welcome. I know. Yeah, so good news came on the Friday. So I had an interview, job interview on a Thursday, which went, I thought, quite reasonably well. But normally when you get job interviews, you don't hear like 2 weeks or, you know, because they got other interviews. So I'm driving along East Anglia. I get a call from the export manager. And he says, oh, we want to offer you the job. And that was it. I was like, yeah. So I start 10th of August. So it's good news all around. Hey, praise God. You know, it's been good. God's good. All the time and all the time. God is good. Amen. By the way, lovely praise and worship. Loved it. It's just fantastic. Thank you, guys. It's just awesome to praise in the house of God, isn't it? It's good to be in the house of God. You know, I tell you what, the need for each other is just true. The fellowship last week was fantastic. The very cook, the chef, thank you. Cook, open up your house. Yeah, it was all just splendid. A great atmosphere. So we're going to talk about Romans chapter 4 this morning. So if you got your Bible, Romans chapter 4 is where we are. We're not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read a good portion of it, but that's where we are today. And we're going to talk about hard-nosed religion versus grace. Hard-nosed religion versus grace. You know, before we go there, but the song today is Never Too Far Gone. And you know, no matter where you are at, no matter what you've done, no matter where you think you are, you're never too far gone from the love of God. And that is just so true. That's why I love the song. So, because I have no musicians, I'm going to just read the verses out and then I'll sing. Hopefully be able to sing the chorus to you all, because it's just a very moving song. I've cried tears when I hear this song. Because, yeah, it's about God's grace. And it has to do with everything with God's grace. It says, I know what you're thinking right now. You've gone too far. There's no way out. You're looking at your life and all you see is everything you wish you could be. But listen close. He hears the truth. Whatever you've done, he still loves you. Can't outrun mercy. You haven't crossed that line. His grace is sufficient every time. And the chorus goes, you're never too far gone, never too broken for his arms, never too lost for the cross to reach, never too far for grace to meet. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, he leaves the 99 to save the one. He won't leave you on your own. Jesus is calling you back home. You're never too far gone. No, you're never too far gone. I know you're carrying the regret like a weight, thinking it's too late to change your fate. But he's not standing there with shame in his hands. He's standing with love that still understands. You don't have to fix yourself first. You don't have to clean up all the hurt. In your weakness, he's made strong. Just turn around. He's been there all along. Because you're never too far gone. You're never too broken for his arms. Never too lost for the cross to reach. Never too far for grace to meet. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, he leaves the 99 to save the one. He won't leave you on your own. Jesus is calling you back home. You're never too far gone. No, you're never too far gone. You're never too far gone. Amen. And you know, the church is a place of broken hearts, broken lives, and God heals us. Amen. It's like a car repair shop. It's not for the perfect, it's for the unperfect perfect. Amen. They say, I got a dent here. Yeah. I got wounded on the way in. God says, don't worry. You're never too far gone. My grace is sufficient for you. And funny, that's what we're going to talk about in Romans, is grace. And this is where the Apostle Paul, he tries to drive home to a church where they try to go into the throngs of works and legalism. And he's trying to convince, so he takes the bold approach. You know, it's dealing with issues. Yeah, always the issues of the heart. Always the issues at hand. So you think the Holy Spirit is encouraging you to deal with issues. That's what he does. He says, yeah, you know what? You need to speak about that. You need to talk about that. The call of God is always one of boldness, always one of love, always one of grace. There's an illustration that is a very pointed illustration to where we're going to go before we read. And I was reading a book about this. And it says about a Bible student. It says, I went to Bible college supremely confident, she says. The future looked bright with promise. So this is a Christian. Yeah, went to a Bible college. The reason I was so confident was that I was quintessentially a legalist. I was a Pharisee. I thrived on the rules. She goes on to tell me she married another college Bible student who over the next 25 years betrayed their marriage several times. A year later, my own teenage daughter was raped by an intruder. Where would there be no end to my sorrows, she asks. After describing these family tragedies in details, she tells of her life-giving discovery of God's grace. I loved my Christian lifestyle. Listen, I didn't love God. But since then, I have been the recipient of God's wonderful grace. At a time in my life when I wanted and expected to have a handful of gifts, accomplishments for God, I came to Him with empty hands. It was only then that I felt the goodness and mercy of God, and a deep contentment of peace settled in amid the pain and sorrow I was feeling. I have a new life of teaching in a tiny missionary school in a developing country now. And so here, you know, and look, this is just one person, gone to Bible college, yeah, Bible school, so knows the Bible. The Pharisees knew the law. The devil knows the Bible, it's still a devil still. And so here's a person trapped in legal, trapped in loving, loves the church, loves the rules and regulations, but didn't love God. And so let's read in that light, Romans chapter 4. And this is what it says. So follow with me, please. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to flesh? For Abraham was justified by works. Verse 2, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? He goes back to the word, doesn't he? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And then he goes to David. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from work. And David said, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? And that's a very good point, isn't it? Because you see, the Jews thought, man, I'm circumcised. I'm holy and righteous already because I'm a Jew. I'm circumcised already. I've got religion. Yep, we are favored of God because I'm circumcised. And so here's the Apostle Paul. He's trying to bring in a point, and a very good point. And he says, look, When was Abraham made righteous, and when did it happen? Yeah. So he's kind of like beating him with their own stick. Let's read what it says further. Yeah. He says, how then was it counted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who what believe, though they are uncircumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who are not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of faith, which our father Abraham had still while uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be assured to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So Abraham believed God by what? Faith. And that's his argument. He says, look, it's the faith in Christ that makes you righteous. He makes us righteous. Just like Father Abraham, so it is true with the church today. And so here are the Jews, and we want to home on this. They want to justify themselves and justify their works. Yep. And the Apostle Paul says, you can't do that. You start doing that, you live according to the law. And there's no justification under the law. Yep. You heap condemnation upon yourself, and no works is justified by the means of the works of the law and the works of the flesh. And so it's amazing. It was 14 years after he was justified by faith that he actually took circumcision himself. 14 years. In Ephesians 2:8 it says, for by grace you have been saved. But you see, we like our Jewish friends, we like to justify ourselves through the law. So we invent rules and regulations, don't we? Because they make us feel comfortable. It brings security. But the problem is, as Christians, look, evangelical churches are no right for this. Pentecostal churches are no right. You've been saved a long time. Ken can go on about it too. But look, the rules and regulations can stifle church. So you know why there's a bunch of old people in churches? Because the rules and regulations rule instead of Christ's grace and mercy and faith. Yeah, we feel comfortable instead of making the Holy Spirit feel uncomfortable. This morning, broken for Christ, broken in the flesh. When we're broken in the flesh, we say, God, use me. We sang that song, didn't use me, take me as I am. When we're broken, yep, God says, I can use that. And then his grace, which is sufficient for us, enters in. It's when we disallow that to happen that we become rigid in heart. And the outside world becomes a bit meaningless because we're so comfortable on the inside. It's easier to judge others than to love and forgive them. True? Verse 4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. So why do we insist on rules and that obeying them is more important? When rules bring condemnation to our lives, legalists call for control instead of trust. Legalist puts you in a bubble, and no personal growth or deep personal conviction ever comes about from it. So look, I will want to control you because it's for your own good. But that isn't how the gospel works. The gospel works by trust. I trust you that God's going to speak to your heart so you can grow. So my wife and I were part of a legal Pentecostal church. She got saved in it. I did not. So when we came away from it, I had a foundation that was already settled in my heart, where she had a more hard grasp of coming out of it. And what they would do is they would put you in a box, and you've got to be like this to be used in ministry. You got to tote the rules. You got to tote the line. And if you don't tote the line, well, the thumb comes down upon you. Yeah. And God help you if you should ever leave. Because you know what? You know, because God's not going to go with you if you leave. You know, Colin Cooper says, and I agree, you know, church should be hard to join, easy to leave. Yeah, you want to go? Yeah, we're going to bless you. Yeah. Cults make it hard to leave. But it happens in evangelical churches. Look, the Apostle Paul preached more about legalism than any apostle, because it happens in his church. The weight, the guilt. Yeah. I know what I'm talking about. And the situation that happens when you come out of that is you've got to redo all your convictions again, because then you think, well, was it a lie or was it a truth? And then you start developing your own convictions and your own relationship with God. And that's what God intended us for you to do all along, that you would walk in your own convictions that the Holy Spirit speaks to you about. So I don't drink. Yep. I don't drink because somebody says, oh, Julio, you shouldn't drink because you're Christian. I drink because it's my conviction. Yep. I've got 5 or 7 good reasons on why I don't drink. Yep. And if somebody presses on why I don't drink, it's whether they get the 3 good ones or I just go to the 5 or 6 ones. Yep. Because when I get the 6th one, they're like, I don't want to talk to you, Julio. Okay. I just give them the full barrel sometimes. You know. Maybe that's not very gracious of me, but you know what? I'm just thinking, you know what? So don't. I have done that before. Truth. But it's my conviction. And God expects you to develop that. That's the relationship with Jesus. And what happens when you come to legalism and we start treating people like you own them, it breaks that. It breaks their relationship with Christ. Philip Yancey says, although Paul himself kept a strict code of behavior, he understood the dangers of legalism, of substituting rules for a gospel based on grace and forgiveness. Legalism lowers rather than raises God's standard. Yeah, you think you're doing God a favor. Yeah, we think we're doing God a favor. We're not. God's got higher standards than us. You said he's holy. So the definition of holiness is moral perfection. So think we're the immoral perfect people, yep, putting standards on other people. God's holy, morally perfect, and I think he can do it pretty well without our help. Yeah? It's true, isn't it? Yeah, the Holy Spirit, you'll be doing something silly or something stupid, and the Holy Spirit will go, oh, what are you doing that for? Well, I don't know, I thought it was a good idea. The Holy Spirit goes, no, I don't think so. So the prime example, we left the legalistic church. I saw the pastor of the legalistic church in B&Q. Yeah. So on an aisle, and I thought to myself, he sees me, I know he sees me, but I'm not going to speak to him. And he didn't speak to me. So I was like, well, yeah, it's him. So next aisle, I see him again. Yeah. And I think, oh, he sees me. I know he sees me. Yeah, I'm not gonna speak to him. Yep. Next aisle, I see him again. And I'm like, is he going to speak to me? Because they're like, you're shunned. You are shunned. You're like, you know, the lows of the lows because you left. And he didn't speak to me. I walked out of B&Q, and the Holy Spirit, boom, hits me like a ton of bricks. Says, what are you doing? I said, well, what do you mean, Lord? He says, I've called you to be a Christian, to be Christ-like. Not like them. You should have been spoken to him first, because that's what love does. You represent me, not him. And of course, I was like, okay, God, you win. But you see, that's what Christ does. Yep. He challenges our thinking. He challenges our stinking thinking. Yep. And he says, look, the call of Christ is a high one. We limit God by bursting in. Because this is a high calling. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a high calling. You can't do legalism on that note. Caring for the poor. Yeah? How can you put a thumb on that? It's the heart. Bringing about justice for those where injustice is served to them. Forgiving enemies. None of these reduces to a set of rules. Indeed, a list of rules narrow the breadth of what God wants done in the world today. It narrows what God wants to do here in this little church. It narrows it down what God wants to do here in this place, in your hearts and in your lives, and my life too. It moves the emphasis away from dispensing God's grace to sinners towards a pointless competition with pseudo saints, wannabe saints, pretender saints, fake saints. Yeah. Because God wants to live by grace and His grace alone. He wants us to walk by faith and faith alone. David Jeremiah, Dr. David Jeremiah says this, says the size of your faith is directly tied to the size of your God. I mean, the size of your faith is directly tied to the size of your God. So look, legalism makes faith petty and irrelevant. That's what legalism does. You don't need faith to be a legalist. But the size of our faith is how big is your God? So we're only going to believe God for how big we think He is, don't we? Now you say some people have big faith, some people have little faith. But the Bible says, what is the size of faith as small as a mustard seed? Yeah. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it will what? Be moved, that's right. But the mustard seed's got to believe in a big eternal God to say, be moved, don't you? Yeah? Or we're just going to go, well, you know, that's what God put in my life. So the Apostle Paul, you know, he was facing things that he didn't like. Remember when he talked about the thorn in the flesh? He believed God to move the thorn, didn't he? Because he had believed God is a big God. Yeah? God said no, but he still believed God. He still asked. Yeah, we won't go there because that's another sermon. Trust me, the thorn in the flesh. But you believe God was a big God. That's the point. So Paul was against the system of the rules that would bring any righteousness outside of Christ. He saw legalism everywhere. And we're talking about in the church. So this is strange. I was talking to my wife at the point of the sermon, really. So I've never heard anybody say, Pastor, I've got a problem with legalism. Have you ever heard that? I have never. I got saved in 1981. I have never ever heard that expression. You know, you hear the outside expressions, you know, problems with pornography, problems with addiction, problem with alcohol, problems with hatred, you know, bitterness. I got all these problems. You never hear the confession of, oh, I got a problem with, I love the rules and regulations. I love the do's and don'ts. Yeah. I love it more than people. Yeah. You know, it just doesn't happen. And the reason why it doesn't happen, because they can't see the trees through the forest. Yeah. They're blinded. And that's why Jesus says, look, he says, because you can say you see, you are blind. Because you say you hear, you are actually deaf. You know, trust me, I've talked to people, so I said, I think you're a bit legalistic. And you never guess what they say. Oh, I'm not legalistic. I do. If you ever get the opportunity, I'm just telling you what's happened. Yep. God challenges you to say, you know, you speak to that person, say he's a bit legalism. The first words is going to come out, they're not going to say, oh, why, thank you for that, sister. Thank you for that, brother, for speaking into my heart. It just ain't going to happen. Trust me. Oh, I'm not legalistic. You do. But you got to sow that seed. You got to let them live with it. So look, this is how sowed your seed. We had a pastor, Pastor Vickery, one of the best pastors we had in that setting of church. he preached a sermon about pride in Australia. He came from Australia. He was Australian. He said there was a word, there's a brother in church that says, Pastor, you are proudful. He said, no, I'm not proudful. So, and then he came to England and he pastored our church. So a year and a half later, he's driving his car to prayer meeting. And he's driving the car to prayer meeting, the Holy Ghost pins him. And he remembers what that guy said. And the Holy Ghost, you're that man. You are proudful. You're full of pride. And he says he just broke down and cried and wept on the way to church. Because he realized he was that man. But that's what we do when we sow seeds. Yep. That's what we do when we have to do the tough love. So we sow those seeds. And the Holy Spirit is able to use those, maybe not now, but later on, to break those chains. Because legalism is a tough bondage. Don't go there. That's why the Apostle Paul writes these things. That's why he says, look, don't think you're justified because you got circumcised. Don't think that you're justified by that. You're justified by what? Grace and grace alone. You're justified because of his mercy. You're justified because of what he done upon the cross and you believed. So let's look why the Apostle Paul attacked. Yep, pagan calendars, Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. In keeping self-denial, Colossians 2:20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? To eating only certain foods, Romans chapter 14. He talks about that. Yep. In having a certain social status, or even in being a man or a woman, Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We humans love to use rules so that we can make ourselves look better than others. But that isn't the law of Christ. That isn't the law of love. Paul warns against returning to legalist mindsets in Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not encumber once more by the yoke of slavery. And the yoke of slavery refers to the bondage of legalism, which contrasts with the freedom found in Christ and in Christ alone. You know, it's the mercy of God that enables me to pray for a stranger that I have not met. It's the grace of God that enables me to preach to a stranger on the streets. It's the power of God that does these things by grace. And that's why in that illustration he says, she didn't know God till she was flat on her face. All those things, all the oppositions came, and she realized, hey, wait a minute. This religious thing ain't working for me. And then she met with God, and the grace of God filled her heart and life. So it's faith and grace. Romans 4:16, listen to it. And this is where Apostle Paul, he hits home. He's got that bat. He's swinging the bat once again. He says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to what? Grace. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. What we have is faith. Romans 8:4 says this, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We're supposed to be walking according to the Spirit of the living God. Look, in B&Q, I wasn't walking according to the Spirit of the living God, was I? You got that one right? No, I wasn't. I was walking according to my flesh. Yeah, I'm not talking to that creep. Yeah. He hurt me. He did, really. He hurt us both. In ways you can't imagine. He hurt us both. But the law of Christ said, you love your enemies. Yeah. The law of Christ, which is in the heart of man. Yeah. In our hearts. Because he writes it in our hearts when we receive Jesus. And he says, no, I want you to love that guy. You really should have spoken to him. Because that's my high calling. Is to love those that what? Hate you. To love those that what? Persecute you. That's right. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You know, I quote that to myself. I don't know about you guys. If you don't have that scripture memorized, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, it's a good witnessing, but really, I quote, you know, it's by grace I have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself is a gift from God, not as a result of good works that no man should boast. God, let me boast in you. Galatians 2, 16, Paul writes, no man is justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will ever be justified. Amen. Paul says that we are lived by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7, not by sight. So look, you're falling flat on your face this week. Yep. Yep. Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you've done something stupid. Trust me, Justin. Welcome to the club. Yeah, I do something stupid every day. Yeah. But it's not based on our good deeds. It's not based on our good work. Because we walk by the Spirit of the living God and not according to the flesh. And when we do fall flat on our face, what does the Bible say? Yeah. He says, not literally. Figuratively. He says, we have a God who's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some, not just part. He's never too far gone. Never too far from his loving arms. He reaches out to you and says, come on. Let me hold you. Let me wipe that dirt off that you got. Pick you back up again and set you back up and make it right. Amen. By leaving the shackles of legalism behind and the attitude that goes with it, does then the fire of God fall upon and we are comforted by his peace with outstanding arms. We say, God, use my wretched life for your glory. My boast of my weaknesses that you are glorified. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 14. Yeah, 1 Timothy 1, 14, 17. He says, I am the worst sinner. It's present tense. Yep. So the Apostle Paul knows. Yeah, he says, look, you don't understand. I am the worst sinner of them all. Present tense. And when he says that, and then you start reading further down, he doesn't leave us hanging there. He says, however, this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ must show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe in him for everlasting life. He says, but thank God for God's mercy. Yeah. He says, look, I'm a wretched man. I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. But look, what we tend to do is tend to boast in our strengths, don't we? Yep. We tend to boast, this is what I have done. This is what I'm, yes. Yeah, the Apostle Paul, he goes, look, I'm a wretched sinner. I was lost. Yep. I was an ex-Catholic boy with porno mags underneath my bed. Yep. As all good Catholic boys have. You state that to a Catholic, they're like, what? Yeah. It's kind of strange. I have done that before. It's kind of, you see their face. They're like, how did you know? Oh, let me take a look. But you see, it's in that. And I said, but look, God's grace found me. His mercy made me a new creature in Christ. The guilt, the shame is gone. You see, that's a testimony. You all have testimonies to give. Every single one of you has a different testimony. Yep. And when you said, give them your testimony of the richness, tell them what God has done for you. Tell them what the love of Jesus means for you. Tell them what the grace of God has done for you. Yep. And I told you before, look, and this is the difference between legalism and the heart of God. Yep. Legalism judges the sinner. The heart of God, let me give you grace and love, and let me show you what God has done for me. It doesn't judge them. Yep. They're already judged. Yep. You just tow that gospel message and start wheeling men by his grace and love. And that's the big difference. Because, you know, God wants to add to this church. He wants to grow you personally. Yeah? Yep, yep. And so next week, he wants you different from what you are this week. Yeah? Amen? Because that's the loving Father that he is. Yeah? He loves us so much, he wants you to be just like Jesus. He hates our sin. He loves the sinner. And he wants you to be just like Jesus. So Romans chapter 4, let us grow in the grace of his love and mercy. And look, if somebody comes up to you and says, look, I think you're a bit legalism, don't throw that back. Oh, is it me? Look, if somebody comes up to you and says, look, I think I'm a bit legalism, let me know, okay? After this sermon. Hasn't happened yet. But this is just a warning. And so many times, the Apostle Paul warns the early church about the throngs of legalism because it tries to creep in. Yeah? It tries to creep in. That's what, you know, this is where you get the differences in the angst that happens in church, is because of this point alone. It's true. Yeah? It's true. But God calls us to love like he loved. To be broken like he was broken. To be poured out like he was poured out. And by walking by this grace, walking by this faith. You know, I said, so look, when I started, remember I said, this church, 400 people, remember that? Why do I say these things? Well, it's not 400 yet. I'm still believing God. There's still people that need to hear the gospel message. There's still people need to get saved. Yep. And this is a gospel preaching church. These are people, you got a pastor that loves people. You got a pastor that loves God. You got a lovely wife. You know what I'm saying? God, fill this place up. Fill this place up. Fill this place up. Yep. Amen. Amen. Why believe so? Because why? You know, I serve a big God. Amen. Amen. I got a small mustard faith. But you know what? I know the God. Yeah, I was looking at the trees. I went to the bathroom. I was looking at those trees. They're blowing in the wind. I was like, you know, I serve a God who made those trees. Wow. You know, you think, man, that's just so, I know, it just blows my mind. He made them. I know them. You know, I'm like, wow. That's like, wow. Yeah, you know, so say that backwards. Wow. I know. It's just amazing. So let's be people of faith and walk in his grace and his grace alone. Shall we? Shall we pray? Shall we stand and pray? Amen. Pray. Come on, get the stand up and get the blood circulation going. Amen. Praise and worship people are coming. Amen. Hallelujah. God, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy that knows no ends. And maybe today that is you. You know, maybe you were in the throngs of legalism or just coming out of it. I have no idea, but God knows. God knows the hurts that you see. He sees the, you know, the lies, the mistrust. And he says, come to me and I will heal you. He says, come to me, my arms is open wide. He says, I long to be near you and touch you by my everlasting grace. And you know what? He does the strangest things. He heals. And he touches, he renews. And you know what? You just become that ball of fire for Jesus. On fire for God. Because he loves you so much. You just can't help to share that. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you about the love of God. He renews, he restores the brokenhearted. And if that's you, you know, let him touch you this morning as we sing that song. If you want prayer, you know, myself, pastor, pastor's wife, we'll pray for you. Pray over you. Pray for a new freshness of God's anointing upon your lives. Amen. Because that's who God is. That's whom the God we love. Never too far gone. Never too far from his loving arms. Amen. 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 Thank you.